The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13th cycle's Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. You don't trust the next moment. Well, we're very excited today here at Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, standing over the Har HaBayit, Abba's house, for our Sukkah Daf Yomi. And so we're going to begin Masechet Shabbat today, but before we begin, let's just have a brief introduction of the issues that we are going to be osek in over the next couple of days. The Masechet, according to Tosafot, is organized according to the time of the day. So essentially the way he sees it is that we begin with Erev Shabbat, which we're going to be getting to soon. And Erev Shabbat begins with things like checking your pockets. Now, why would you want to check your pockets? So we need to tell you that there's an Isser of Hotzah. And then we go on through issues of your oven, Hadlakat Nerot, of course, what you do with your oven right before Shabbat. And finally, deep into the Masechet, we get to the rest of the Melachot, and that's how he looks at it. We are going to see that it's a lot more primal than that, and that the issue of Yetziyat HaShabbat coming up here up front, only on the simplest level, is a logistical issue, and on the deepest level, touches the entire nature, not only of Masechet Shabbat, but obviously of Masechet Eruvin, where we'll see that 90% of the material of Shabbat has to do with Hotzah. All of the other melachas are given a couple of lines, and that's it. And that is an amazing thing, which of course we're going to need to deal with and come to understand, perhaps at the Siyum, or maybe before, we'll see. But certainly this opening mission of Yetziyat HaShabbat is a fitting introduction to two Masechtot that deal with the concept of Hotza'ah. Now, when we're talking about Hotza'ah, we are dealing with what is called, as Tosfot puts it, a Melacha Geru'ah. A Melacha Geru'ah means that this, among all of the 39 Melachot of Shabbat, is the only Melacha that changes absolutely nothing in anything. It only changes the interrelationship of context of an item. That is a very strange way of looking at a malacha. Normally, malacha, we talk about some type of creative change in a thing. You know, so you're making it cleaner, you're washing it, you're planting it, you're cutting it, you're burning it, but you have to do something to it. And over here, nothing changes in the thing. It's entirely its spatial context that changes. And that calls for a complete review of what we mean by the nature of malacha, but again, this is something that takes place over the course of two very long mesechtot. When we generally refer to the idea of yitzia, because we've grown up as kids and been told, don't carry on Shabbat, at least if you live in Chutz Laretz, or if you live outside of the big cities where they have forgotten about Hotzah, but you were told not to carry on Shabbat. And you think that that means not to walk out of your house with something in your hand, or come into your house with something in your hand. But the truth is that that does not define the nature of carrying. It is not about carrying. It's about changing spatial coordinates. And in order to change spatial coordinates, an object in movement is not changing its spatial coordinates because it isn't anywhere while it's moving. And therefore, we need to understand that the concept of Hotza'ah involves, by definition, uprooting something from its current coordinates, which is called Akira, and then placing it somewhere with new coordinates in a different type of reshut, which we'll discuss in a moment, which is called Hanacha. The act of actually crossing a boundary between one type of space, let's say what we'll call a reshut hayachid, which we'll define in a moment, into another type of space, which let's call a reshut harabim, which we'll define in a moment, is itself not Hotza'ah. And the truth is, you can walk in and out of your house all day long and never be chayiv for Hotza'ah on Shabbos. Into the street, across the next alley, into the next guy's house, through his backyard, into Fifth Avenue, and go all day long and basically never do an Akira, never do a Hanacha. We'll see whether your momentary stopping is considered to be Akira Hanacha while you walk. But basically, it's very different from what we think. Now, the Rishuyot of Shabbat are characterized essentially in our Mishnah, which keeps things very simple. It's characterized by two basic Rishuyot, which is the way that the Torah speaks of it, essentially, because the Torah discusses Hotza'ah in terms of the Binyan of the Mishkan, where there was a tent in which a person would have a donation for the Mishkan. He would take it out of his tent into the common area of travel in the Midbar. And because of that, the size of Rishut HaRabim, the number of people that would use the Rishut HaRabim, which is the common area, is defined as it were, as if it were in the Midbar. And of course, this is when the Machlokes in between the Rishonim, what elements are considered to be crucial to that definition, but essentially, a Rishut HaYachid is an enclosed space. It may be literally enclosed, it may be enclosed virtually, in terms of its being set aside by being on a mound, let's say, so, or you have mechitzot under it, like you're on top of a roof, but you don't see them around you. However, that space is virtually enclosed. You could have a space that has a mechitzot of lavud. You could have a tzurat apertach, and so on and so forth. But there's a difference between enclosure, however we define that enclosure, and non-enclosure, plus the difference of the type of usage, which we'll see. Let's pretend that there's only those two rishuyot. And then let's talk about the different possibilities when we're talking about hotza'ah. So the case given in the Midbar was al yotzi, which is the way we darshed, it's really al yotze ish mimikomo, which we darshed in al yotzi, nobody should bring a gift to the Mishkan on Shabbat, and which of course the Mishkan is, we're going to see, the source of all the 39 melachot. And we learn from that, don't walk out of your tent into the Rishut HaRabim in order to carry something to the Mishkan. Now, how about carrying from the common area into your tent? It turns out that that too, even though that's not called Yitziyah, it's called Hachnasa. Technically speaking, we're going to see that the word Hotza'ah includes all of the variants, either Hotza'ah or Hachnasa, but those are details that are going to become clear in the next couple of pages. Now, that would mean that if we were keeping things very simple, we would basically discuss two possibilities. Moving something from Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim, that would be called the Yitziyah, and moving something from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid, which would be called the Hachnasa, and that would be all we would need to discuss. However, the Tana, as usual, sets things up in such a way as to be frightfully unclear, and in doing so, not only provides the essence of Torah Shebaal Peh, but also introduces, as subtext, many, many different questions which end up being extremely rich in determining the nature of Hotza'ah. And therefore the Tana deals with the nature of Akira, with the nature of Hanacha, with the nature of the actual movement. Is it a movement that draws towards you? Is it a movement that pushes away from you? Is it a movement that your entire body is involved in by your crossing a boundary and stopping? Does it matter whether you're the one inside or you're the one outside? Does it matter if something is in your hand and not on the floor when you do the so-called Akira? Does it matter if when you deposit it in the other Rishut, you never deposit it on the ground, you deposit it in somebody else's hand? Does it matter if you keep it in your hand, but your hand is extended into that other Rishut, and now it's still? Now, those are all kinds of weird issues that wouldn't have crossed our mind until we get to this Mishnah that deliberately confuses us by having them all involved and not giving us a clue as to how it is that it wants to enumerate the various sets of issues. And because of that, let's just talk about the theory. In order to deal with all of those issues, it's very simple. We need to take two people. One person who's inside, one person who's outside, and we won't discuss anybody moving. Everyone will stay in their place. Now that means that it's possible to do Hachnasa or a Hotza'ah in many different ways. If you're standing outside, inserting your hand inside and depositing something is going to be Hachnasa. But if you were standing inside and extending your hand and taking something to the inside, it would be also Hachnasa. However, it would be an Hachnasa that would be drawing towards you from a hand that had been outside. And the other way would be the Hotza'ah to the person outside would be drawing towards him. That may make a tremendous difference, particularly if we need to consider what the status is of the local space of a hand vis-a-vis the space in which the body is. So that's who we're going to have to take into consideration. Therefore, let's take a look at the variables. The variables are as follows. The Rishuyot. Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaRabim. A. B. Where are you standing? Inside or outside? To keep things simple, we will refer to the standard Schnorrer case. So in a Schnorrer case, the Balabayit is inside and the Ani is outside. Now there's an exchange of the letter from the Rabbanim to the inside, of the food from me, and to from the inside to the outside, the receipt from the outside, and so on and so forth. Fine. So for keep it simple, the other element that we need to consider is Oni or Balabai. Then we have another issue. The other issue would be, where did the chefetz begin? In other words, did you pick it up or was it deposited into your hand? Did you deposit it or was it taken out of your hand? And the other issue. So there our questions are, hachnasa is not sufficient. What would define the akira? What would define the hanaka? Those are yet another two issues. And the next issue, which was the fourth variable, is active or passive. Suppose you keep your hand out, doing absolutely nothing, standing there like a statue, and you had an apple in your hand, or a torch if you were trying to be a lady. And somebody comes and picks up the torch out of your hand and brings it into another rishut. Now, you're doing nothing, you're just being a lady. What about if your hand was empty and somebody deposits the torch into your hand? Now, obviously, that's complete passivity. Put together these four variables, and obviously you're going to come out with 4 times 4 cases. You're going to end up with 16 different possibilities if you've got four variables. Now, that's exactly what happens in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah lists 16 cases, and yet it announces that it's really talking about 8 cases. And those 8 cases are supposed to be split into 2, which are 4 inside, and 2, which are 4 outside, which makes it even more complicated. So let's consider again, what would the 16 cases be? It's very simple. You have the balabayit standing inside in a reshut hayachid, the ani standing outside in a reshut harabim. The variables would be, let's start with complete passivity on one side. So only one person does all the work. He sticks his hand into the other reshut, holding something. The balabayit would be sticking his hand into the other reshut, holding a piece of bread for the ani. Deposited in the hand of the ani standing there, doing absolutely nothing, or vice versa. The ani takes the letter from his pocket and hands it over to the balabayit. The balabayit does absolutely nothing. He doesn't take it, he just reads it. So take those cases in both directions, and you've got half of our Mishnah. How about, however, you can also split the active components? So let's take a look how that would be. The ani sticks his hand into the house with nothing in it. The balabayit deposits something into the hand, the ani removes it into the other reshut. Okay, so now both were active. How about if the balabayit sticks his hand into the other reshut but doesn't put it, the contents anywhere, the ani removes it from his hand? Now obviously, when I'm talking about any of these cases, they could be inverted with the ani doing the first action, the balabayit doing the second action, and vice versa. So you could see how we come up with 16 cases, which we're going to go through, and you could see how it's going to be exciting to try to figure out which of those 16 cases are mentioned in the Shnayim Shem Arba Bifnim and Shnayim Shem Arba Bechutz, and so on. And the truth is, there are many different ways to parse the Mishnah. So let's take a look at the cases that are given. We start off with two very simple bavot. I guess the Tana didn't want to scare us away right at the top. And we go like this. Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Vishtayim Shein Arba Bechutz. And let us assume that Bifnim means the way Rashi explains it here, Shtayim Shein Arba to someone who is standing indoors, Shtayim Shein Arba to someone who is standing outdoors. And we're now talking about Shtayim. That's because you have Achmasa and Hotza'a for each of these people. And those would be Shtayim, which would be Dioraita, and then you could have another two, which are only Drabona. Maybe that's how to do it. And the same thing would be true if you're standing outdoors, if you're Amid Bechutz. So let's assume that that's what it means. So we have Yitziyot HaShabbat, and let's assume that Yitziyot HaShabbat means either Yitziyah or Achlasa at this point, which we'll question later. So you have two, which are 4 Bifnim, 2, which are 4 Bechutz. How do I mean that, Ketzah? Well, let's take the guy who is Omed Bechutz first, okay? The Ani is Omed Bechutz. The Baal HaBayit is Omed Bifnim. Now, the Ani is Poshet Yado Lifnim. He sticks his hand in carrying his recommendation of Rabbanim. And he deposits that into the hand of the Baal HaBayit, who's standing there passively. Or, perhaps the balabayit already had a piece of bread in his hand, offering it to the ani. The ani sticks his hand in, removes the bread from the hand of the balabayit, or shenatal mitocha vohotzi. In that case, the ani is chayav. He's the only one who did anything. The balabayit is patur to such an extreme extent that we're going to see he didn't do anything. To say patur is a gross exaggeration. I mean, what do you mean patur? Patur from what? I'm just standing here. So in the end, we're going to say, actually, the balabayit is mutar. He didn't do anything. And this is a borrowed term to say patur in this case, which is a memorable question. So we've got two cases. In the case where the ani sticks his hand in, deposits it into the hand of the balabayit, the ani did an act of hakhnasa completely. The akira apparently being moving his hand out of reshut arabim when it was at rest, and the hanacha being depositing something in the resting hand of the balabayit. If he took something out of the hand of the balabayit, then he did an akira in reshut hayachid, despite the fact that he was omed in reshut arabim. And when he brought it into reshut arabim and stopped, he then made the hanakah. Now, obviously, this introduces an extremely confusing issue. What was the status of the object in his hand? Because if we're saying that when it's in his hand, it's then considered to be hanakah, so then if that's the point, when did he do the akira out of the hand of the Baal HaBayit? If it was always in his hand, then at what point did he transfer it from one rishut to the other? Is his hand part of his body? And was it that instant already in the other rishut without even moving from one rishut to another? No. That the Mishnah is not saying. He has to bring it into his rishut. But by the time he brought it into his rishut, it was already in his hands in the other rishut. So this is a confusing question. What is a hand? Is a hand a rishut to itself? Is a hand part of the body, but only part of the body if it's in the same place where the body is? Because obviously if I put it into the other guy's hand, the Baal HaBayit's hand, I didn't put it on the ground, it's still considered to be in that rishut. Okay, that's to be discussed. Now, the opposite case would be, Pashat Baal HaBayit et yado, lochutz. If the Baal HaBayit now does everything, he's got a piece of bread in his hand. He sticks his hand out and he puts it into the ani's hand, the ani's standing there completely passively. So then what did the Baal HaBayit do? Otsa'ah, from rishut ha'yachid into rishut ha'rabim. Or he might have actually done the opposite. He might have stuck his hand out and taken out of the hand of the Ani the before and after pictures of the Baal Teshuva to enable him to decide whether he wants to donate money to this organization that turns the after back into the before or not. And he himself, Abala, it only sounds complicated, don't give up. He took it out of the hand, the pictures, out of the hand of the Ani. And he brought those pictures inside. What did he do? Haknasa. What did the Ani do? Absolutely nothing. So here we've got a case of Hotzah and Haknasa that was done by the Baal HaBayit. In the first case, we have a case of Hotzah and Haknasa that was done by the Ani. Okay, this part is relatively simple. The Ani is completely passive. But if we include the passivity cases, so then that means that these four cases are really eight cases, because by definition, they involve another guy. The only thing is that four out of these cases are completely passive. So we're going to pretend that those passive cases don't, they're not part of the case. They're just standing there. That's the lady that's standing for you, waiting for you to put the torch in her hand. So apparently we're ignoring that, because otherwise we should say these are really eight cases. But we're pretending that, no, they're not eight cases. Right? Each one of the sets is only four. All right. Now, what are the other possibilities? Now, here things start getting complicated, because what we're going to discuss now are the cases of the Arba part of the Shnayim Shein Arba, which means the cases where we do not have complete passivity on one side, we have an interaction, action, nobody is passive, which means that by definition, if both parties are active, we are going to be adding eight cases, by definition. If both parties are active, then there's eight variables. Right, we've got the Ani, we've got the Baal HaBayit, we've got the question, who's doing the Akira, who's doing Anacha, and which Rishus, which is the Otsa, which is the Hakhnasa. For some reason, we're not counting that as eight, we're counting it as an additional four. We're going to have to decide why we're counting it as an additional four. Okay, but let's take a look. The Ani is Pashat Yado Lifnim, in this case. But he doesn't deposit the pictures in the hand of the Baal HaBayit. He puts his hand out with the pictures in it. Now, wait a minute, I thought if you have something in your hand and your hand is at rest, then that thing is at rest in the rishus. No, obviously that was a wrong conclusion. We need to have a hanukkah by somebody removing the pictures out of your hand. So then why did it work as a hanukkah when it's in the same place where your body is? Apparently because of the fact that your hand is attached to your body and in the same rishus to the body, which is a strange interrelationship of factors, but it seems to be unavoidable. So now, Ani sticks his hand in with the pictures. The Baal HaBayit now removes the pictures from the hands of the Ani. Now those pictures, the coordinates of those pictures are now Rishut HaYachid. Did somebody do a complete act of Akhnasa? No. The Ani did the first part of the act of Akhnasa, and that was the Akira. The Baal HaBayit did the second part of the act of Akhnasa. Okay, those are two cases, even though it's only one case. Two people were involved in a Akhnasa. All right. So then we have the opposite case. The Ani sticks his hand is empty. Baal HaBayit deposits something in the hand of the Ani, a piece of bread. The Ani now removes the bread into his rishus. Did anybody do an Akira and a Hanukkah? No. Because the Akira was accomplished by the Baal HaBayit, who then put it in the hand of the Ani. Right, but that whose hand is inside at that point? He stuck his hand inside the door. Okay, so apparently that itself is not the act of Otsa. The Ani then removes his hand and brings it into the other Rishus. A Otsa was accomplished through the action of two people. In this case, the Baal HaBayit did the Akira, the Ani did the actual act of moving it, and the Hanukkah. Two people were involved. In the previous case, we had another Rishus, but we didn't have another involved person. He was passive. No, he just stood still in the other case. He was a shelf, a bookshelf. We wouldn't have known if he was dead or alive. In this case, he moved his hand and he inserts the bread into the hand of the Ani. Now the Ani removes his hand from that Rishus and stops in the Rishus Arabim where he is. So a Hotza'ah was accomplished through two people. One of them did the Akira, one of them did the Anacha. But there's another case. Suppose the Balabayit sticks his hand with the bread lachutz, so that he did the Akira and he moved it into Rishut HaRabim. Now the Ani takes the piece of bread out of the hand of the Balabayit. And now, once again, a Hotza'ah has been achieved. But how has the Hotza'ah been achieved? By two people. If in that case, the Ani took it out, or the Balabayit had an empty hand, the Ani put something into his hand, and the Balabayit now pulls his hand in, and he knees, Shneihem Pturim. Now again, those are two cases. Each one is two cases, one for the Ani, one for the Balabayit. So we really have eight cases here of non-passivity involvement in a Hotza'ah. For some reason, the Mishnah is calling this four cases. This is the expansion of the Shnayim Shein Arba. That's the four, the additional two that makes everything four, whether you're standing Bifnim or standing Bachutz. How in the world do we parse that? Now, there's two possibilities that jump into your mind immediately. We may refer to a Hotza'ah specifically in the case where the actual thing was moved, not only acted upon in terms of Akira and Anaka. If that's the case, if the Balabayit, his hand was full, and he extended it, so he's the one that we're talking about, because he came closest to doing the act. The Ani who just removed it from his hand, completed the act, but he didn't move anything from one Rishut to the other. Maybe we're only talking about that type of thing. If so, obviously, each one of these cases, although it has two active partners, only has one partner who did the movement from one Rishut to the other. Maybe we're calling it a Hotza'ah because of our prejudice that when you move things, you know, that's the main thing. That's one way of looking at it. And that would keep the language of the Mishnah clear, because then it would be exactly the same as the opening case. If the Ani was the one who did the thing, if the Balabayit was the one who did the thing, who did the thing, not technically, but actually accomplished the movement over the boundary, so we'll look at him. The other way of looking at it is that we're only talking about the Isser Derabanan of the person who began the act. The beginning of Hotza'ah is Akira. Theoretically, once you did the Akira, you could have kept going and done the Hanacha, and then you would have been over on a Diraita. It happens to be that you stopped and you let the Ani do the Hanacha by removing it from your hand, or vice versa. The Ani stopped and let the Balabayit do the Hanacha. But you didn't have to. What if you would have just dropped it into the other Rishus? Then you would have been the only one who would have accomplished that Balacha. So maybe the Mishnah is talking about the most dangerous parts. So there's Shnayim, two cases where you're actually Chayav. You do the entire Hotza'ah or Hakhnasa. Or there's two cases where you're getting close to being Chayav. If you just keep moving, you're going to be Chayav. If you don't stop and let the other guy complete it, you're going to be Chayav. So maybe we'd be talking about the two cases of Akira. Now, the problem with that is, if that's the way to parse the Mishnah, then that means we're going to be mixing the two cases, because the case of the Ani is going to turn out to be in the middle of the case of talking about the Balabayit, and vice versa. If we're just talking about the guy who does the movement, fine. Then the Mishnah adds up. The two cases in the Reisha where I did it all myself. The two cases in the Sefer is where I did a movement myself, but I didn't do the Akira and the Hanukkah myself. Okay, that's fine. But if we parse it this way, then we're going to end up with two very different ways, Bifnim and Bachutz. Somebody standing inside, somebody standing outside. The first part works out nicely, but the last two cases don't really work out by standing inside, standing outside. It's that we really need to take all four cases, and out of them we get two cases for each one. But it isn't the same as in the Reisha. So each one of these cases has its advantage in learning it a particular way, disadvantage in learning, which we'll get into as we go. So basically you understand, again, there are 16 total individual cases here, looking at it from the point of view of both the Ani and the Balabayit. Four of those cases involve complete passivity on the part of one or the other people that are involved. There are 12 total cases that involve some element of activity. Four out of that activity, four of those cases are cases where everything was completed by one individual. The Akira, the Hotza'ah, and the Anacha, while the other individual was completely passive. The other eight cases are combined of two people, and therefore they are the problem in the Mishnah. Those are the eight cases that we have to decide. Why are we choosing four out of the eight? Is it because we look at the beginning, the Akira, which would mean that we have sort of cross-dressing over here between the Ani and the Baal HaBayit? Or is it because we're looking at the guy who actually moved whatever it was they're moving across the boundary, which halakhically has no particular meaning, but psychologically maybe it has meaning? So that is our Mishnah, a Mishnah rich in nuances, introducing many, many issues that we would never have thought of if it would have kept it simple, and being a classic expression of putting it all on the table right at the beginning and making sure that you give up right at the start, because it's hopelessly complicated. And as we see, Abba is about to, you know, maybe start Yerushalmi.
So we're done now, is that it?
So that was our brief introduction of an information-dense Mishnah, which is the way that we always find the opening of a Masechta, is always absurdly informationally dense.
The guy inside takes the object, moves it out, and drops it, or reaches out inside and brings it in. The guy outside,
the other guy is doing nothing.
The other guy, he picks it up and puts it in the house, or he puts his hand in and brings it out. That's the four passages.
So the passive cases there are the other guy that you're not talking about.
The guy who's not doing anything.
The guy who's the shelf.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, he's passive, so we're ignoring him.
Right.
So instead of having eight cases, we really have four cases. So we're ignoring the passive partner completely. Uh-huh. We could have replaced him with a shelf. What do we need him for?
But that represents eight because of the other guy. Okay. Yeah. From the other person's point of view.
Correct. And since in the Seifa there's no passivity, we need to start dealing with that question.
This other four.
Yeah. Because all cases are active in there. Okay. But it's clear in the ratio, it's easy to get away with saying, okay, I understand why you're calling this only four cases, even though it's eight, because you don't want to talk about people who are just basically, they're nothing. I mean, they could be fast asleep, and it would still be the same thing.
Might as well be a husband.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, why would it have said Bala by him?
Yeah.
Yes, which reminds me, your wife has a Shiloh to ask.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on then to the Gemara. Tanan Hatam. Now, we find a reference to this Mishnah elsewhere, and where it's referred to elsewhere is Masechet Shavuot, where we happen to list all of the different cases where we have two, which are four. And where we do it over there, we only come out with two, which is four. We don't come out with all this complicated eight. And why is that exactly? What have we added here is really what we want to know. I mean, obviously, I understand that there's going to be more detail in Shabbat. That's not what's bothering me, as Tosfos explained. But what's bothering me is define precisely what it is that has been added by this Mishnah over the Mishnah of Shavuot that would justify the way that we're phrasing it here. So let's take a look at the simple Mishnah in Shavuot. So we have the same concept when it comes to making a Shavuot. Shavuot, that normally are Mechayev, you a Korban, it's called Shavuot Bitui. And if you make a Shavuot, you say, I am going to do something. I am not going to do something. It's called Lahara Leitiv. So depending on how overweight you are, if you say, I am going to eat that hamburger, that would be the Lahara Leitiv. Actually, that's not true. Lativ is always to do something that's fun for yourself. All right. So I'm going to eat the hamburger. That's lehativ. I am not going to eat that hamburger. That is lehara. Now, there's also another case of Shavuot, which is very, very different, and yet which we derive from Sukkim is included. I did eat the hamburger. I didn't eat the hamburger. Now, over there, obviously, we're talking about Shavuot in a different sense, in something that is supposed to make people believe an event. But it has nothing to do with defining what you're chayiv to do, because it's referring to the past. Both of those sets are included. So we have shtayim, and we all, that's l'hara leitiv, that's the future. And we are marbe, also l'sha'avar, which is I did or did not eat. So you have a total of four, all of which would be chayiv, according to this Mishnah. You also have another case where we have Shnayim Shein Arba, and that is Yidiot HaTum'ah. Now, over there, we have a very special halacha. You will remember, there too, it's talking about a korban ol v'yored, one of the strange korbanot that is completely defined by your financial circumstances. And over there, we have a case in which an individual becomes Tomei B'tumat Meit, and he either walks into the Beit HaMikdash with that tuma, or he eats Basar Kodesh with that tuma. And the Torah says, you're only chayav, there's a very special din, you're only chayav on that shogeg if you first knew and then forgot some element. Now, what did you forget? So over there, there are four, there's two basic ideas, but they're actually four variants. Because, look, there's two things. You could have forgotten your tuma, basically, to and then gone into Beis HaMikdash. You could have forgotten your tuma and then eat Kaddish.
Okay, those are the two cases. But you could remember your tuma and then forget that this is the Beis HaMikdash. Or you could remember it for your tuma and forget that this is Basar Kodesh. Okay, all of those cases would be chayav. You also have another case where the Torah spoke about Marot Nega'im, and basically the Marot Nega'im in the Torah specifically only mentions Se'et Ubaheret, which are two different levels of whiteness in the skin, which are discussed in detail in Masechet Nega'im. We don't need to go into it here. However, since the Torah also uses the Loshon of Sapachat, Sapachat always means secondary to, because we find that Loshon of Sifachenina, make me part of your group. So Sapachat would mean that there would be a tolda to the Se'eta, to the Baharat. So we end up with four different levels of whiteness that are included in Marot Nega'im, and all of those cases of Marot Nega'im are actually binding Midoraita, and they make Yutame, which is involved in various Chiyuvim. Now, why is it, asks the Gemara, and why is it that there in Shavuos it says only Shtayim Shein Arba and keeps it very simple, Vitulo? What precisely is the difference? I understand that we have a right to expand here, but what are we expanding exactly? So Hacha de Ikar Shabbatu, and that was obviously true. I knew that, says Tosafot. I'm just putting it in here because in the end we're going to use that to distinguish why over there we're Mekatzer. So since over here we're dealing with the main issue of Masechet Shabbat, we're going to talk about Yetziyot HaShabbat, not only in terms of its avot, which are the things mentioned in the Torah specifically, and that is the Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo, which is Yetziyah, not Hakmasa. And then it also mentions the Toladot, which is going in the other direction, doing the Hachnasa, not only the Yetziyah, but over there in Shavuot, where it's not really the central place where we're going to be dealing with the Dinim of Shabbat, we're basically just dealing with a structure over there of two, which is four. So we keep it simple, two, which is four. I mean, that's true in terms of Avot. So Tani Avot, and not Toladot. So Avot Tani Toladot Lo Tani. I'm not quite understanding what you're saying. I mean, you're making Avot, I understand that to mean, in other words, Yitziot, right? But if you mean Yitziot, then where's the Shtayim Shein Arba? You don't even have Shtayim Shein Arba. You only have two. Shtayim Shein Arba included the Hotza'ah and the Haknasah. And now you're telling me you could say Shtayim Shein Arba and it would mean Avot. Huh? How is that? Avot, mind you. What do you mean by Avot? Yitziot? There's two cases of Yitziot here, and no more than two. Either the Balabayit does the Yitziah, or the Ani takes it out of the Rishut HaYachid and takes it out to him, and he does the Hotza'ah. The other two cases, which is the Arba, are cases where the Balabai brings it into his Rishus, which is Achnasa, or the Ani pushed it into his Rishus, away from him, which is Achnasa. There are no four cases of Yitziot. Well, no, that's not true. Of course there is. It's just that two of the cases were cases where there were two people involved, and therefore you're not Chayef, because you didn't do the whole thing yourself. Oh, I knew you were going to say that, but don't try to start up with me that, well, it means all of the cases of the Hotza'ot, but some are Chayev, and those, of course, are only two, and then the Shein Arba, which includes where there were two participants, which is Liptur. No, that's not going to wash, because the Mishnah over there is only talking about a context, in every one of these other cases, is talking about a context of Chiyuv and only Chiyuv. It doesn't mention things that are included, but won't bring you to a Korban, or won't bring you to a Chiyuv of Negaim, and so on. Doesn't include that. So, how do you explain that? Hadumia demarot Negaim katani, ma'atam kula lechiyuv, everything that we speak about. And as Tezis points out, that's true about Shavuot also, but as the Gemara in Masechet Shavuot proves, that's true only because I compare it to Marot Nega'im. So we might as well go straight to the bottom. The bottom is, look, I see from Marot Nega'im that Mishnah is constrained by Chiyuv and nothing else. Doesn't want to talk about other cases. So Afalchanami Kula Lechiyuva, so that's not a good answer. If you want to talk to me about Avot, I've only got two cases. And if you want to talk to me about the cases of both Torah and Chiyuv, then it won't explain the Mishnah in Shavuot at all. So try again. Okay, says Rav Papa. Okay, let's look at it differently. Hello, Rav Papa. Look, we're talking about Iker Shabbat here. So where we're talking about Iker Shabbat, we can afford to talk about cases where you're putter. Over there in Shavuot, we're keeping it simple, and it's in the context of that Mishnah, and everything over there is restricted to cases where you are Chayev. And Chayev would be two cases of Otza'ah, one for the Ani and one for the Balabayit, and two cases of Achnasa, one for the Ani and one for the Balabayit. So it's very simple. In the case of Shavuot, there's four Chiyuv cases, if we include both Otza'ah and Achnasa, both of the Balabayit and the Ani. When we come to our Masechta, where we've also got another four cases of multiple participants, so there we want to talk about the other cases to show you the Isser Derabbanan as well, but that wouldn't have fit into the Mishnah in Masechet Shavuot. So, Hatam, Lavika Shabbat, it's Chiyuv Tani, Pturi Lok Tani. What? Chiyuva? Excuse me, wait a minute. Now, weren't we talking about Yitziot? It said Yitziot. Again, how many cases of Yitziot or Shabbat that you're chayav on are there? Just tell me. Two. There's only two cases of Yitziot. The other cases are Hachnasot. You said Yitziot HaShabbat Shtayim Shein Arba. Now, I want to take you at your word. I mean, I'm throwing things around loosely here, are you? When you said Yitziot, you meant Hachnasot? Yitziot or Tarti Avian? No. Yitziot, you know, I mean two of Otsah and two of Hachnasah. But wait, can't you read? It says Yitziot. How can you say Yitziot means Hachnasah? Omer Ravashi, look, you're not going to get through this Masechta unless you bite the bullet right now and you recognize that the Tana considers Hachnasah and Otsah to be interchangeable, unless you want to specifically deal with the case. But the word Otsah is the general rubric for this Milacha. I don't know which direction. I'll prove it to you. Look at a Mishnah later on that describes the Lametet Milachot. How is this particular act defined in that Mishnah? Hamotzi mirashut l'rashut. Now, for heaven's sakes, if you want to tell me that the malacha is being motzi mirashut ha'yachid l'rashut ha'rabim, then for God's sake, say so. Don't say from one rashut of any kind to another rashut of any kind. Can I be motzi from rashut ha'rabim into rashut ha'yachid? I thought you said, I can't do that. I can only be machnis from rashut ha'rabim to rashut ha'yachid. So obvious, that's not true. It says, Hamotzi mirashut l'rashut. Milo askinam. If you're using the word rashut l'rashut, are we not also including a case where you're moving from rashut harabim to rashut hayachid, and you see clearly that the Tana is referring to the with the word Hamotzi mirashut l'rashut. So that means that the word Hamotzi means removing from your current spatial coordinates. I don't give a hang where those coordinates are. That's all it means. It doesn't mean moving it from a house. It means moving it from a current space to a different space. That's all that it means. And why is that? Because, time of mind, kol akirat chefetz mimekomo, the removal of any item from its current spatial coordinates is called hotza'ah karila. It's a technical term. It has nothing to do with the particular nature of the local space that you're referring to at all. Omer Ravina, what do you got to go run to a Mishnah later on in the Masechta that talks about the Lametet Melachot? You know how long it's going to take us to get there? Look at our Mishnah. Look at our Mishnah. You tell me how anybody reading our Mishnah could have thought that the word Yitziot HaShabbat means taking out from Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim. Will you read the Mishnah? Matnitina Medeka. It says, Yitziot HaShabbat Shnayim Shein Arba. And what does it start explaining? It starts explaining right away. And yes, the Oni puts his hand inside. Like you said, we're talking about Yitziot. Deposits it inside. Isn't that called Achnasah? I mean, surely you're not going to give that first case to explain Yitziot HaShabbat is a case of Achnasat HaShabbat. That would be crazy. Unless, of course, it doesn't mean anything like that. It just means changing spatial coordinates. I have no prejudice if we're talking about coming from inside to outside or outside to inside. What difference does it make? To become a fire, shakma sala alter. Immediately, we change the topic to achmasa. That's intolerable. Shmamina, that it's really one thing. Rava says, look, this whole thing is a mistake. You're using the word yitziot in completely the wrong way. The word yitziot is not referring to the act of changing the locale of a chefetz. The word yitziot, rishuyot, is really rishuyot. And as Tosis points out, we even find v'hayu totzeotav hayama. We're talking about the gvulot. The targum of totzeotav is rishvute. It's various rishuyot. You see that those terms are interchangeable. So what we're saying is yitziot ha-shabbat. There are variations of spaces on Shabbat through which you can come to two variants of that if you're standing outside, two variants if you're standing inside, another four variants if you're taking into consideration partial acts. That's all it's saying. It's not even referring to any act at all. It's talking about the very Rishuyot of Shabbat, Rishuyot Katani, Rishuyot of Shabbat, Arshtayim, from which we can now devolve into the entire discussion in our Mishnah. That's basically the way the Rava sees it, the Tosfos, and it's the simplest way of reading the Gemara. So it's more of a semantic issue that confused you. Never even meant Yitziot. And I want to just start that next piece. You can see how clearly, we'll go over it again tomorrow, but you can see how clearly the Mishnah is being parsed by the Gemara by taking first the 16 cases, reducing it to 12 cases, and figuring out how to reduce 12 to 8 cases. So let's start. Rav Mazda turns to Abaye. I don't understand how you get 8 cases. I just read the Mishnah and I come out with 12 cases. Where do you get 8 from? Read the cases. There's Tresrei Havyan. There's 12 cases. Oh, says Abayat, and for heaven's sakes, if you're looking at the number of cases, then why don't you learn all the cases? There's 16 cases. And how come you don't ask me, aren't there 16 cases? So obviously you've already done some filtering of the Mishnah. Well, why don't you just keep filtering, my friend? Oh, come on, Cesar of Mass. I mean, that's simple. I mean, any child would not include passive cases where a guy's doing nothing. Holokasha. I mean, the Bavad Eresha, where it says the Balabayat is patur. It says the Ani is patur. I mean, it doesn't really mean he's patur, does it? I mean, he's not doing anything. I mean, he could be fast asleep. He could be dead, for that matter. I mean, it means that he's not involved, is all that it means. So it really means patur mutar. I'm not asking. I mean, that would be a dumb question. I'm not asking you about 16 cases. But for heaven's sakes, there definitely are 12 cases, because there's 4 cases which we only have 1 participant, and there's another 8 cases where we have 2 participants. And you are arbitrarily choosing out of those 8 cases with 2 participants, you're making them 4 additional cases of patur instead of 8 additional cases of patur, and I don't get that. The Bubba, the Seifa, where it says potter over there, means potter, but it's usser because you're active. Why isn't that included? That's kasha. That bothers me. And tomorrow we will see how the Gemara goes about defining what it is that we want to look at. But clearly, we've got a beautiful graph over here of a Mishnah that's opening up the world to us when it comes to space, objects, coordinates, and the actions that act upon them. We're going to see that these are such sophisticated issues that the Gemara is going to get into the question of relative space and talking about the, in other words, how it's simple to deal with relative space, which is, you talk about a boat. Boat is moving on the water. Something is now munach relative to the boat, but it's moving relative to the water. Do we look at that? Do we look at this? So all of the issues of space, which is part of Yetziot, are going to come up here even in the most sophisticated fashion, as we shall see. Yetziot HaShabbat 2 Shein 4 B'Fnim 2 Shein 4 B'Chutz. Ketzad? Ani Omed B'Chutz, Balabayit B'Fnim. Parshat Ani Et Yado L'Fnim V'Natan Etoch Yado Shabalabayit. The Balabayit does nothing. O Shenatal Mitochav Otzia Ani, the Balabayit does nothing. In that case, Ani Chayav, U Balabayit Patur totally. Patur Mutter, as we'll see later. Parshat Balabayit Yado L'Chutz V'Natan Etoch Yado Shalani, who is dead. And therefore, the Ani obviously we can ignore. O Shenatal Mitochav the balabayit chayav, the ani is patur, and again patur in this case means he's out of the picture. Now the next case is a little bit more complicated. Bashata ani et yado lifnim v'natal balabayit mitocha, accomplishing the actual otzah through the intervention of two active people. O shenatan l'tocha, and then the other one is motzi his hand, their shneihem are pturin, but they're aser, because they shouldn't have been involved in doing a malacha together. Pashat ba'al habayit yado l'chutz, v'natal ani mitocha, or natan l'tocha, in an empty hand, and then the ba'al habayit moves his hand in, v'ichnis, again shneihem pturin, but both did an iser. They're just not chayev on that iser. Now, in Masechet Shvuot, says the Gemara Tanhatam, Shivuot Shtayim Shein Arba, Idiot Atuma Shtayim Shein Arba, Marot Negayim Shtayim Shein Arba, Yitziot HaShabbat Shtayim Shein Arba. Now, how come over there it was so simple and it got so complicated over here? Mashnach, it's only Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, and Shtayim Shein Arba Bachut, and over there you get away with just saying Shtayim Shein Arba, but too low. But that's because Hacha the Ika Shabbatu, we're including both the Avot and the Toladot. But Atam the Lav Ika Shabbatu, we're only going to talk about the Avot and the Toldot Lotani. Well, I don't understand. What is Avot and what is Toldot? I'm assuming you mean Avot my new Yitziot? I only come up with 2 cases of Yitziot where you're Chayev. And maybe you'll try to tell me, V'chitema, who said Chayev? I just said cases. Maybe 2 of the cases are Potter. Maybe Mehen L'Chiyuv and Mehen L'Ptur. That wouldn't work because the Mishnah has 4 sets of things. It has to be the same as Marot Negayim, right? They're just like the Marot Negayim or the Shvuot are talking about over there, Chiyuv. And so too, Atam Kula L'Chiyuv, Avachanami Kula L'Chiyuv. El Amar of Pop, okay, the difference is this. Here we're talking about Ikar Shabbat. We're willing to discuss Chiyuv, Ptur, but in Shavuos we want, indeed, to keep things in all the same. In that Mishnah, it's Lav Ikar Shabbatu. We're only going to limit ourselves to Chiyuv Tani, Ptur and Lotani. Okay, fine, but still, what are the Chiyuve? I mean, you said Yitziot HaShabbat. Yitziot HaShabbat, there's only 2 cases of Chiyuve. I still don't see how you got Shem Shein Arba. Well, why not? You've got 2 cases of Otza'a, and you've got 2 cases of Akhlasa. But you didn't say Akhlasa. You said Yitziot Katani. Om Rav Ashi, well, that's because in Shabbat, the Tana Akhlasa Nami, Hotza'a Korila, I mean, go look at the primary mission that defines the Malacha, okay? Miritzan HaMotzi Mirishut Rishut Chayav. Without defining which Rishut. So, Milo Askinah Dukoma Ayel from Rishut Rabin, Rishut HaYachid. And you're calling that Hotza'a. According to you, what do you mean? That's not Hotza'a. But then the Mishnah would have had to say, Amotim Rishut HaRabim, Ayakid L'Rishut HaRabim, and it doesn't. So clearly, what is the explanation that he's calling it Hotza'ah? Obviously. And that is the explanation. Omar Ravina, would he have to read all the way towards the end of the Masechta? Matniti Namadeka, Tikton and Yitziot. Starts over the Yitziot HaShabbat Shleib Shin Arba, and then starts explaining it. And how does it explain it? By having an Ani put something inside, which of course is Achanasa and not Otsa. So come before Shechanasa La Alter. Clearly, the Tana wants going out of his way to confuse you, and to make it clear to you, I'm not interested in the direction. Which means that Achnasa is Hotza'ah. Rava says, whoever talked about Hotza'ah anyway? Yitziot HaShabbat has nothing to do with Hotza'ah. Yitziot HaShabbat is a reference to spaces, not to acts. Talking about Rishiyot of Shabbat. Now, there's only two essential Rishiyot of Shabbat in the Torah. The Rabbanan expand that. But we'll talk about that later. Right now, there's two Rishiyot of Shabbat that lead you to these separate Chiyuvim, which are Shtayim.
And wonderful. Let us begin the Sefer Shabbos. So, the Tosfos understands that the structure of the Masechta is basically built around the order of time. He says this is where we have this often. We're talking, for instance, talk about the earliest things, the night before the Bedika Ola Arvasa, go on to the burning of the Chometz and so on. We get to the bringing of the Korban, and finally we get to the Seder. So the request suggests that that's the case here as well. We start basically the Masechta starting on Erev Shabbos, talking about, forget about the first mission, but it talks about getting your haircuts before Erev Shabbos, checking your pocket before Erev Shabbos, and then gets to lighting the candles, making sure that your stove is set up in Kira. And finally, we get to the Malachas and Shabbos and so on and so forth. And the only thing is that this part is a little introduction, because otherwise you wouldn't know what checking your pockets is all about and what not to go out with wearing. The guys in carpenters are not supposed to go wearing a pencil at the end of the year. So we introduce it. Why don't we introduce the other elements of the Malachas that we also don't know? And if we're going to talk about setting up your oven, why don't we talk about Bishon and so on? And those Malachas are obvious Malachas. But Hotzah is such a strange idea. It's called a Malacha Gru'a, because it doesn't have any impact on an object. It's the only malacha in which an object remains unchanged, and the only issue is the relationship of an object to things, which is a very strange way to look at malacha. Because the Tana felt that it's necessary to give us some background in order to be able to appreciate that, so therefore Hotzah was mentioned. I think Bezrat Hashem, when we get to the end of the Masechta and we have our Siyam, we can find other patterns about it that I think you'll find more satisfying. But we'll wait because you have to do the whole Masechta to see that. But it's a nice approach, and it's basically, but I told you what right now is at zero for the Riva and Rabbi Nutan, but it's the way that Tosfos essentially ends up looking at it. Zucked? Shabbos, Seder Mayim, that's right. I'm from the Helik of Seder Mayim. You might as well do this right, Shabbos. That's only once in a while we get a chance to do that. All right. Ki'ilu hayachasim. Before we begin the details, let's just have a very basic introduction to the idea of Hotzah. The Torah says, Al Yetzei Ish Mimikomo B'Yom HaShabbat, from which we darshan, Al Yetzei doesn't mean just to walk out, but rather Al Yotzi. You shouldn't go out carrying something to collect the man, which would have been the norm to collect the man, and which shows us that you can't carry something from one rishus to another. Now, the Maisa, the only riot that the Gemara brings is, we'll see later, actually, so in my focus, we shouldn't, but let's assume the way the Tosfos at least understands today, so yeah, is that the only real av malacha that's mentioned b'feirush is taking out into Rishus HaRabim. So that you're walking out of your house and you're doing a hotza'ah in the literal sense, going outside. You'll take, when we say today, and you'll say it when I go out for a tiyul and so on, you're going outside. Same thing is true if you're bringing something to the Mishkan, which is a public area, so you're going outside. From your own personal rishus to rishus rabbi. We'll see that those rishuyot are not defined really by the usage, the way they are betumah, rishut ha'yasin rishut rabbi, but rather by specific spatial definitions, and that's unique to Shabbat.
Is it related to the Mishkan?
Yes, very much so. Because essentially the idea over there was, we'll see the Gemara brings various tukim and examples of things that were in the Mishkan, including even later on carrying on the agalot, raising the Kreshim from the Mishkan to the Agalot and so on. We learn out other issues passing from one Rishut Ayahu to another Rishut Ayahu, they pass over the Agalot. But the Pashtut, the problem was in terms of the Avodat HaMishkan, bringing the donations to the Mishkan, and so there too you were being Matnis, you were being Motzi to the Rishus, the open area where the Mishkan was. Now, there are three components really to every Hotzah, because the change of the object position is only viewed as being really changed if the object was at rest in a particular space and comes to rest in a particular space. But an object that is not at rest is not shayach to Hotzah. Later on, we'll have questions about relative space. Suppose we have one space which is within another space, and that space is moving. Let's say it's a boat. Now that space, the object is at rest relative to the boat, but the boat is not at rest relative to the earth or relative to the pond that it's in and so on. All those types of discussions will come later, but what is important is that we need to have a concept of at rest. The definition of at rest is technical, which we'll see comes from an analysis of this mission. And the mission is assuming that when an object is in someone's hands who is at rest, that object is at rest in the space that he's in. As a matter of fact, Tosafot suggests one of the main reasons why the mission is brought here, the Madani call of these various halachos of the Gabi Hotzah. Now, that means that in order to be accomplished the malacha of Hotzah, you need to uproot an object from where it was at rest. And uproot is literally called akira, just like if you would uproot a plant. It would be oker. You need to be oker to the papers that you're moving from one rishus to another. If you just carry something from one rishus to another, you did not do Hotzah. Because part of the Hotzah is the uprooting it from where it was and the putting it back down in the rishus where it's being brought to. So if somebody, let's say you're walking along and somebody handed you something, and then somebody, you move to another rishus, and somebody took it out of your hand when you got to the other rishus, you did not do a hotza'ah, despite the fact that you moved from one rishus to the other. Or hafnasah. All you did was the movement. The movement itself is not the act of the itself. Therefore, the way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah looks at a number of different issues. It looks at a hotza'ah that's accomplished completely by one individual, who doesn't Akira, walking, meaning your chain is walking, you change it from one rishus to another, and then a setting down. We have Akira, Hotzah, and Hanocha. The mission also considers the person who just does the Akira and the Hotzah and doesn't do the Hanocha. It also considers the case where a person just does the Hotzah and doesn't do the Akira. We'll see, as we get along in the Sugya, which ones the Mishnah is looking at carefully and considers them to be worthy of mention, and which ones are not. And that's because there's three different Dargot. There's, in Shabbat, you have Chayav, which would be Chayav Karet, if you don't have the Hatra'ah and so on, you'd be chayav. Amazing, you'd be chayav Hila if you actually did it with Hatra'ah. You'd be chayav Korban Chatat if you did it Kshovi. That's Hayah. You also have Patur. Patur means where it's Asur min Rabbanan. And you're not allowed to do it. You also have Mutar. Mutar means they never asked that particular at all. Now, in our Mishnah, we'll have elements of Hotza'ah that are chayav, elements of Hotza'ah that are Patur, and elements of Hotza'ah that later on the Gemara is going to say is Mutar totally, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't bother enumerating them, even though it mentions the cases in which it included, but they're not mentioned by number. So what we number involves us only in the chayav and some of the potter. We'll see that there's even two levels of potter that we're going to be careful about in our Mishnah, because there can be a potter where the Rabbanan didn't want you to be involved in a hotza'ah. For instance, somebody gives you something, sit down, in which case you didn't do the akira, but you did the hanocha and the hotza'ah. You're not supposed to be part of the malacha, but there's no possible way you could ever have been chayav in that hotza'ah because you didn't do the akira. On the other hand, if you did the akira and let somebody else do the hanocha, that's more chamor, because you might have actually come to get healed. Suppose you decided to do the hanocha yourself. So there's really four shadings in the Mishnah, and that accounts for the way in which we enumerate the things in the Mishnah, which is somewhat arbitrary, because we could have counted it in many different ways, as the Gemara is going to point out, that we can count it by only the chiyuvim and have four. We could count it by the chiyuvim and the peturim and have 12. We could count it by the chiyuvim and the peturim and even the things that are mutter, in which case we'd have 16 examples in the Mishnah. Or, the way we do it, is we count the chiyuvim and the peturim that are the upper shading, the kind that you do the akira and could have come to see you. This is the way Rashi understands it. We'll see there's other approaches as well. But I don't want to get too confused right out at the onset. So there's two words that are used for Yitziyot HaShabbat in the technical terms. One, the general term is Hotza'ah. And Hotza'ah can be done from one rishus to another. I don't know how we define that rishus. Right now, for the sake of simplicity, the Gemara is assuming, the Mishnah is assuming there's Rishiyot. There's Rishut Rabim, Rishut HaYachid. We'll see that things are more complicated than that. And there are various non-Rishiyot, such as non-Zayt, which is called a Mokam Tur. And there's such a thing as a Durabonon Rishut, which is a karmelit, which would give you special isurim that we make similar to a Rishut HaYachid, even though it really isn't, being not in. And but right now we're only going to talk about Rishut Rabim, Rishut HaYachid. So in terms of Rishut Rabim, Rishut HaYachid, you can have Hotza'ot, which include two subcategories, taking from Rishut HaYachid into Rishut Rabim, which is the one that, according to Tosafot, is the only one mentioned in the Torah, and that's the Hotza'ah. Then you can have going from Rishut Rabim into Rishut HaYachid, which is, according to Tosafot, a tolda. Many Rishonim hold it's not a tolda, and that the Gemara, the way we have it, is making a assumptions or using words in different ways that end up not standing at the end. But there's a different type of hotzah, which is called haknasa, which is simply going from a reshut harabim into reshut hayachid. In order to make things simple, instead of explaining each time reshut hayachid, reshut harabim, we use a shorthand in this submission, which has other Kabbalistic implications. But the shorthand is that a reshut hayachid is here called the balabai. In other words, he's in his home. Reshut harabim is referred to as the ani, because the poor man is coming from the reshut harabim, knocking on the door of the balabai, and that simply, for nomenclature, makes things a lot easier than saying ifayin. Echad ani reshut harabim, ve'echad ani reshut hayachid. So we just talk about an ani and an ashi. With all of that, we can now easily understand our very simple Mishnah, which points out that Yitziyot HaShabbat, if we include under the idea of Yitziyot Hotzaot, which includes both Yitziyah and Haknasa, going in or out, out or in, actually, respectively, are Shtayim, Shehin Arba Bifnim. Now, we're going to do this first the way Rashi learns it. Tomorrow, I'll expand on it, but I think you need a little time for the ideas to settle in. So let's do it like Rashi. Shtayim, Shehin Arba. It's not like Rashi, I mean like Rashi here, not like Rashi elsewhere, because Rashi elsewhere has other ways of constructing it. But Shtayim, Shehin Arba Bifnim, meaning there's two ways that you can do Yitziyah if you are indoors. Bifnim meaning here indoors. The Shtayim Shein Arba B'chutz, and there's two ways that you can do a Hotzah, again referring either to Hakhnasa or to Yitziyah, if you're standing outdoors, which if we include the Yisurei D'Rabbanan, which you're not supposed to do, actually becomes four as well. And what are they, Kesed? When we say this, what do we mean? Well, an ani, and an ani by definition is omei b'chutz and reshut harabim. The balabayit, again, we're defining it as a man who is omei b'fnim. Okay, given now those definitions, here are the cases. Pashata aniyat yado lifnim. V'natan latok yado shel balabayit. Suppose the ani is holding something. In this case, it's a receipt. He assuredly wrote this receipt before Shabbat. Or it's the hagarala. So he hands it from outside into the hand of the reshut, of the, into the hand who's handing in his reshut of the balabayit. So now what has he done? He has been machnis, which is strange, because it starts off with Yitziyot HaShabbat, and it actually defines somebody who put something inside, which the Gemara will comment on. Or he takes something out of the hand of the balabayit, which is surely not money in the day, probably some chalas for Shabbos, and takes it outside into the reshut harabim. He'ani chayav u'ba'alabayit patur. So in this case, the ani would be chayav. The balabayit did nothing. He basically just sat there and was a shelf. So the ani took from his hand, put into his hand. This has nothing to do with the balabayit. But the ani in this case is actually chayav because he was machnis or motzi. We've only gotten the two. Here is the two b'chutz. According to Rashi, shtayim b'chutz meaning somebody standing b'chutz.
And the two that are four, this is a subsection of the one and leading to the other case, or is it?
No, these are the two that you're chayav b'chutz. When we say two, we mean one is a yitziyah and one is a hakhnasa. But the person who's doing it is standing b'chutz. Now, you'll note, and it's important to sense this, you'll note that according to this, it's important for us to differentiate between an act of yitziyah when it's done as bringing something towards you, or an act of yitziyah when it's done as pushing something away from you. Because in this case, we have only the transference of an object without the movement of your body. That's what why we're able to split this up to into a bachutz and a bifnim. Normally, if a person were carrying in the typical way, it would be unimportant to us to split it up in this fashion, correct? Because you do yitziyah and achmas in exactly the same way. What would be the point of whether you're poor or rich? The only point of being an ani or a balabayit is because you aren't moving. So what we need to do, what we're talking about over here is a little, think about this for a moment. If we normally take for granted that when a person is at rest where he is, that the object is considered to be at rest on the person, in which case the movement of the person, he has something in his body, he gets up from the couch, opens the door, walks out and sits down on a bench. Now we would understand that that person did an act of ahira, hotzah, and hanocha. That's not what happens in this case. And you think to yourself, well, no, wait a second. The object remained in my hand in exactly the same place it always was from beginning to the end. I had my hand in the other reshes. Take up an object. When I lift an object and put it to my hand in that other reshes without having changed my body, did I bring it into my reshes? Where is it? Is it now at rest when my hand is in the other reshes? I now move it into this reshes? It's still relative to my hand exactly the same way it always was. So you'd think that you're going to have to make a choice. Either your hand is an extension of your body, in which case, at the moment that you lifted it, it was in another reshes. And then you didn't need to bring it in at all. Or you're going to say the hand is not attached section of the body, in which case the example would be putting it down somewhere, which I never do. So it's important for me to have this case because it raises all types of strange issues about the relationship of my act and my hand to the object. If it wouldn't be for the fact that I'm standing in one place, extending my hand in, the mission really wouldn't make any sense. Like, we have different cases, depending on where you happen to be. That's a turn. Who cares if you start off bakhutz, you start off with you, all right? But here we're dealing with a type of hotzah in which only the object is moving. I'm accomplishing the hotzah of achmas in two totally different ways. One by bringing something to me, and one by extending something away from me. You could certainly understand that the way that a malacha is done is significantly impacted by that kind of thing. For instance, if I were carrying something behind me, and I left it over on my back, and I walked out with it, or I'm carrying that same thing in front of me, it makes a tremendous difference to the malacha. Many items that I'll carry behind me, I won't be chayav on, because it's not the derech of the hotzah, because it wasn't properly munach when it was standing, when it was across my back on a stake and so on. Each case has to be defined. It's certainly an important nekuda to get these differentiations. And we'll see, we're going to make the yukim about them in the Gemara. So we have now, according to Rashi, first the description of somebody who is omeid bachutz. He's an ani. He did a hotzah by taking out of the hand of the usher, who's ani b'fim, and taking it to himself. Or he did a hachnasa by taking his own hand, sending it inside, and dropping it into somebody else's hand. The other two are the one who is bifnim. Bifnim means he's the balabayit. Okay, the balabayit extends his hand holding the bread to the ani bachutz and deposits the bread in the hand of the ani. Or he takes the receipt from the hand of the ani and brings it into him. In this case, the baal habayit is chayav and the ani is patur. Again, the ani really didn't do anything. All he did was he just sat there. And we'll see that this is really an inaccurate use of the word patur because it's really mutar. He's uninvolved. There's no action whatsoever. These are shtayim bifnim and shtayim bachut. Now, we said that the shtayim shein arba bifnim. How did that happen? Getting back to the one who's omeid bachut. Let's see how he can have another two cases that are worth mentioning. Pashata ani et yado lifnim. By the way, you'll notice that in the cases that we just had, we actually discussed four for each. Because we shouldn't need to consider the fact that the balabayit in the first case served as a deposit area for a hanocha and served as a removal object for an akira. So actually, the omeid bifnim should have two additional cases in the first case for the omeid bachutz. And the omeid bachutz, who serves as the repository for the hanok of the balabayit, or the placement of the akira for the balabayit, that's the ani, has two additional cases in the second section, where the balabayit does. We're obviously ignoring that. We don't think we have shnayim shein arba. Even though in these first cases, each one is shnayim shein arba, right? You see that? We're falling asleep. That's why you don't see it. If the person who, you have one person who's active, right, and one person who's totally passive. That person who's passive in the case of the ani, omei bachutz, the one who's passive is the one who's bifnim, is the balabayit. Right. In the balabayit's being active case, the ani, who's bachutz, is the passive. Okay. But each one of the cases actually includes two passive examples of its alternate.
The mirror image,
right? So the ani, we talked about two chayav cases of the ani, two chayav cases of the balabayit, but those two chayav cases included two passive cases of the other ones. Now, clearly, the mission did not include the number of them. That's four additional cases the mission is ignoring, because we start off with Shnayim Shein Arba. The Gemara says the reason we ignore those cases is specifically because they're totally passive. You can't include a case in which I'm a shelf, basically. For all intents and purposes, I'm uninvolved, fast asleep. And you could say the same thing.
Why do you need a mirror image?
You don't need the mirror image. Because we're going to get to a case where the mirror wakes up. That's now the two cases that are coming, that we're going to add to each. So now, how do we get those two cases where the mirror wakes up and becomes active instead of passive? The case is this. Suppose now, Pashata Ani et Yadol, getting back to that Ani who's Omeid Bachutz. Again, he's the Bachutz. Here's the two potential cases for the Bachutz, according to Rashi. Pashata Ani et Yadol Ifnim. How about if the Ani sticks his hand with the receipt into the doorway, the Baal Habayit now removes the receipt from the hand of the Ani. The Baal Habayit in this case is active, and he has now taken part in the closure of this Hotza'ah by doing the Hanakha. Because the Ani never does a Hanakha. In other words, it's clear that when his hand is extended into the Rishon HaYachid through the door, the Hotza'ah has not yet been completed. Because he hasn't deposited it. He did Akira. The Ani did Akira, but does no Hanakha. Which means that when his hand is at rest in the house, apparently the object is not at rest in the house. It's in some type of limbo because it's in the hand of the Ani, which seems to be attached to the Ani outside of the house. Therefore, he needs to deposit it in the hand of the Balabayit. But in this case, he did not deposit it in the hand of the Balabayit. The Balabayit takes it, thereby becoming a partner in crime. Except that he didn't do the Akira, so he can't be chayav for this partner. He's a partner in crime, but he's not chayav. The Ani, because he has a partner, is also not chayav.
The object started off inside.
No. Outside with the Ani. It was the receipt. So the Ani began to do the Hotza by doing the Akira. That is another one chalked up for the Ani. He was about to do a hakanasa. He did the Akira. He transferred the item. He didn't put it down. He never completed it. Who did complete the crime? The Balabai. But this is yet another case in which we will not include the number for the Balabai. Reason, even though what he did was wrong, even though he's not passive, the reason is he never could have been chayav in this case anyway because someone else started and there'd be no way for him to come to a chiyuv. So even though he's active, it's not going to count towards his case. Right? It's not going to be one out of the two missing ones for the mirror, namely the Balabai.
And the Ani is putting his hand into the Shusei.
Bad boy. Bad boy. That's included. With the object.
Yeah, and even though he may have stopped, it's not called the
stop. He didn't do Hanocha. Bad boy. Because if he had done that Hanocha, he would have been Chayav. So when it counts his case against the Ani, this is case number 3 for the Ani. It's only the Rabbanan, though, because we can't be the Chayav and he didn't complete the Melacha Dioraita.
And even standing still, holding
his hand. Even standing still, which is our problem. I mean, it's a Mamanasha. If he's something in your hand at rest in the face in which it is, then if that's the case, why isn't he chayav as soon as he puts his hand in? Is something in your hand not at rest where it is? Then why, if it was in his hand previously, does he suddenly become chayav when he extends it outwards? There's obviously some additional factor, which clearly is going to be the relationship of his hand to his body in that space, which the Gemara will be medayag afterwards. It's just another confusing issue of the mission. So we now have 3 cases for a man who's standing b'chutzdruv, which is chayav, one of which is potter, but could have led him lidei chiyuv had he completed it, and therefore we're going to list it as bad.
And that's number 3.
And that's number 3. Now where's now we're about to have number 4. What else did he do? Oh, what else he did was, is that he was natan letocha. In this case, the balabayit put something into the open hand of the Ani. Now the Ani then removes that thing, b'hotzi, and he takes it out of the Rishos, who himself standing in Rishos Rabin. Now, he only completed the action in that case, and the balabayit was the one who began the action. Both of them are bad boys because they were partners in crime, but we list this case, this is what is strange about Rashi's enumeration, we list this case as being the case of the chiyuv of the Akira, it will turn out in the Gemara, of the balabayit, because we're only listing the ones that can be ativi de chiyuv. At this point in the Mishnah, we don't need to look at it that way, right? Because what we can look at is the guy who is doing the action of the movement of the chayfetz is the one that we're listing. So in both cases, we list the Ani. Here, we're talking about the guy who's Ani b'chutz. He's the one who did the hakanasa, and then someone else did the hanocha. Or he's the one who did the hotzah, and someone else had done the akira. So to keep it consistent with the simple approach in the Mishnah, the way Rashi understands it, there are 2 cases over here of tour for an Ani. We ignore the balabai because the balabai wasn't the one who did the movement from one rishus to another. And in terms of movement, hotzah, we like to look at the movement of the chayfetz as being the important issue, and so we talk about that. All right. The other 2 are now clear me'alehim. The inverse case. In the case where now the balabayit was pashat et yado from inside, he hands out the piece of bread outside, but he doesn't set it down in the hand of the Ani. He leaves his hand open. The Ani removes the bread from his hand. He now did an akira, a hotzah, with no anacha. The Ani did the anacha of this particular act of hotzah, and therefore both of them are potter. In a case where the Ani, he had his hand open, balabayit, the Ani put the receipt in his hand, he now brings his hand back in. So now he did not do the Akira. Again, the Natan Tocha, the Ani puts it into his hand, the Ichnis. Shneihem Peturim, in this case, they would both be Patur, and we now would have two acts of Hotzah for a guy who is standing outside. One is Chayav, one is Patur. 2 acts of Yetziyah, Amir Hachmasa, for a guy outside. One is Chayav, one is Patur, and vice versa. 2 acts of Hotzah for a guy inside. One is Chayav, one is Patur. And 2 acts of Hachmasa for a guy who is inside. One is Chayav, and one is Patur. All right?
So just to recap the deduction, two ways to understand, you say 2 broad categories and subcategories. It's 4 for each one of the
right. There's many different ways we can. There's actually 4 different ways in the Rishonim to count the Shtayim Shehin Arba.
Okay, there's going to be 2 with each one having 2 for a total of 4, or
correct.
Each one having 4, so it's a total
right.
of 8.
The Gemara will go through that. We could have a total of 16, as you're pointing out. That the Gemara is going to ask tomorrow, basically. But right now, we can see how to organize our Mishnah in a simple way, which the Gemara does not accept, as I mentioned to you, because of the shadings of Potter, because you can have a Potter that can be Chayev, ultimately, which would demand that you did the Akira, or you can have a Potter which is Chashev because you're moving the Chayev. Again, from a naive view of the Mishnah seems to be focusing on the movement of the Chayev, so you've got Stein, and Bethim, Bachutz, and everything is very clear. The Gemara will not accept the way I just explained the Mishnah, because of this problem. If we don't recognize the shading, then we can't possibly only have 2 cases of Tur for each one. We have 4 cases of Tur. There clearly ought to be 12 cases total mentioned, because if we're including anyone who is active, whether he does the Akira or the Hanaka, then each one of these people should have had an additional 2 cases, because they were active either as the ones who were Oker or as the ones who were Minyat, each one in the other one's case. Therefore, my simple reading of the Mishnah is really unacceptable. What we're going to have to say is, strangely enough, that since we're only counting the active participant who also could have been chayav had he completed the act, then the active case for the one who was bifnim isn't included in his case of bifnim. Because the active case that we're interested in was when we were talking about the guy who was bachutz and he removed it from the end of the yoni.
The akira person. The people doing akira.
Well, yeah, when he put it into the end of the yoni, that was his case. But that case was listed as a case of an man standing outside. But it's the chayav of the one standing inside.
So
the simple construction of the Mishnah that appears to be focusing on where you're standing in two separate bavas for each one. You're standing outside and you do X and Y, or you're standing outside and you do A and B. You're standing inside and you do X and Y, you're standing out, you're standing inside and you do A and B. That's the way we explain the Mishnah. That's wrong. Because the A and B cases are actually A and A and B and B for the two cases. The Balabayas' Chiyav case appears in the case of the Oni who puts his hand in, and the Balabayas removes it from the hand of the Oni. Right? That case is a Ptur that we don't mention. But the case that we do mention is where the Oni sticks his hand in, the Balabayas puts it into the hand of the Oni. That's not in the Balabayas' case, in the Oni's case. The Oni put his hand in, the Balabayas put something into the hand of the Oni. Now the Oni removes it. That's case three for the Balabayas, even though it appears in the Baba that's discussing the Oni. I'm just pointing out that the structure of the Mishnah, on a simple level, is unacceptable because it seems to list 12 possibilities of 16. And when we reduce it to 8, we're stuck with recognizing the shading of Akira, according to Rashi, that forces us to insert one of the chiyuvim of the Balabayas into the Ani's case, one of the chiyuvim of the Ani case into the Balabayas' case, because we're only going to be talking about the Akira. If we accept that approach of Rashi and the Gemara as well, it's a little awkward to fit this into the Mishnah. And so, tomorrow when we talk about the various options, we'll see other ways of doing it that might keep the Mishnah simple. Okay? Is everybody happy now with this Mishnah? We see all the exciting possibilities.
You mentioned something about the Yad could move forward or not. Does that make a difference?
Right now, the Mishnah is effectively ignoring that, but giving us a lot of food. When we get to the Mishnah tomorrow, we'll analyze it exactly how it works. Seems to be problems, but Yoro Kagufo Dom Yonat. Okay, so now the Gemara is wondering about the way in which the Mishnah is constructed. I mean, we have an equivalent Mishnah, really, in Mesechet Shavuot, where we mention a number of other things that are Shtayim Sheinar. So we say, Shvut Dan Hatam, we learned in Mesechet Shavuot right at the beginning, Shvut Shtayim Sheinar. There are actually two shvuas that are mentioned in the Torah, which is lahara or lahativ, which of course just means I will eat today, which depending on your weight is lahara or lahativ, or I won't eat today. Right? That actually eating is considered to be a good thing, and not eating is considered to be a bad thing, and that's the bottom line, which is important to remember that. So that's lahara. That's lahara or lahativ. It's in the future. And then we have shein arba, we learn out from the pasuk. He uses the word lakola shayibate. Anything that a person mentions, we learn out that there's also a chiyav about the past. A man can swear, even though it seems to be a totally different idea, I did eat or I did not eat, which we do not vow, we take an oath. It's a whole different idea, and yet both are included in the concept of Shavuot. So the shtayim shenarva lahara olayiv, ba'atid or b'shavar. No, four. Yidiyot ha-tumah, shtayim shenarva. Now we know when it comes to yidiyot ha-tumah, we have a strange, very special aloha, where the Torah mentions v'ne'elam. V'ne'elam twice, that teaches us, as opposed to other chiyuvim of a carbon, the chiyuv of a carbon b'shogeg on knisa b'migdash b'tumah, or achilat kodashim b'tumah, is only where you first knew and then forgot. You have to have all the information. That means that actually it would be possible to set this up in four different ways. You could know that you're tamei and know that this is the Beit HaMikdash, and then forget that you're tamei. You could know that you're tamei and know that this is hegdash meat, and then forget that you're tamei. You could know that you're tamei and that this is the Beit HaMikdash, and then forget that it's the Beit HaMikdash. You could know that you're tamei and know that this is kodesh, and forget that it's kodesh. Remember that you're tamei. So there's really two essential cases where it's talking about forgetting the tumah, v'hu nitmah, and then the two additional cases where it adds an additional v'ne'elam, v'hu tamei, which is he knows the thing that he did wrong. In other words, he knows about the Beit HaMikdash, he knows the food. He just forgot that he was tummy. Marot negayim, there's only two negayim that are mentioned in the Torah, and that's the sa'et o baheret. But since it mentions the word sapachat, and sapachat means as a connotation of secondary to, sifacheni na. Sifacheni na means add me on to the thing. So the sapachat implies that there's also a secondary, sa'et and a secondary baheret, which gives us arba marot negayim. And furthermore, there's also yitziyot ha-shabbat, which is shtayim shehin arba. Now, why is it that it says in and doesn't say that there's eight. Doesn't say Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim and Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. Why is that? and nothing else. Answers the Gemara Hacha, the Ikar Shabbatu, Tani Avot, but Tani Toladot. Hatam, the Larikar Shabbatu, Avot, Tani Toldot, Lotan. Now, at this point, we're assuming the only Avot when it comes to Shabbat are the actual Yitziot, which are taken from the Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim. Because the idea is of Al Yotzei is Al Yotzi, don't go out, don't do a Hotza'ah. Later on, we're learning out Mitzad HaSvara that there's also a Katzah of Haknasa. The Mishnah in Shavuot is only interested in telling us the Avot, not the Toladot. So over here it adds that. So here, where it's the Ikar Shabbat, it says both the Avot and the Toladot. In Shavuot, it excludes the Haknasot and only mentions the Avot. The Avot, as far as I know, there's only two cases of Avot, and that is the Hotza'ah of the Ani and the Hotza'ah of the Baal HaBayit. That's the Avot. So where's the four cases? So Avot, says the Gemara, Avot are what? The Yitziot. Yitziot are only two. Train Hagen. How do you get four? If you're going to follow the outline of our Mishnah here, then we have two which are four and two which are four, but each one of the two which are four included a Kachnasa. So we're left with two which are four. One for the Ani and one for the Baal HaBayit. In each case, one Achir of Hotza'ah and one at the Rabbana of Hotza'ah, right? Yeah, so maybe that's the meaning of Shavuos. Don't get confused with the Shlaim Shein Arba here, which are referring to the Adi and the Baal HaBayit, in both Yitziyot and Haknasot. It means there's Echad Shu Shnayim Bifnim and Echad Shu Shnayim Bachutz, essentially. Each one can do a Hotzah, which is a Chi of the Araisa, and each one can do a Hotzah, which is an Issur D'Rabbanan. Okay? That's a problem, though, because V'chitem, you'll try to tell me that the meaning is two Chiyuvim of Hotzah, one for the Oni and one for the Baal HaBayit, and two Peturim for Hotzah, one for the Oni and one for the Baal HaBayit. Problem is that the Mishnah in Shavuot would have to remain consistently parallel, and the other cases in that Mishnah are Chiyuvim, not the Rabbanan, but the Oraita. And we know all of that from Marot Negaim. That proves conclusively, even though there's a Machloket in Shavuot about the other Dinim, the Gemara there points out that since it says Marot Negaim in the Mishnah, clearly the Mishnah is assuming that everything is L'Chiyuvah, in which case the Shabbat also would have to be L'Chiyuvah. So Mahatam Kulu L'Chiyuvah, Afachanami Kulu L'Chiyuvah, and therefore the Shnayim Shein Arba cannot be two Diorisas and two Darabonans. There would have to be two Diorisas, which equal four Diorisas. So then you are including the Haknasot. Hello, Amar of Papa. Okay. Exactly. That's the point. That's exactly the point. How did you get eight in this case? By including four that are Darabonan. Okay, exactly. Ignore the four that are Darabonan. So now you have the Shnayim Shein Arba, meaning you have the Haknasa and the Hotza'ah of the Ani, and the Haknasa and the Hotza'ah of the Ashim. That's the Shnayim Shein Arba. So you're including also the Haknasa. Very good. Elam Rav Papa, the correct way to understand it is, since over here we're dealing with the main dinim of Shabbat in the second Shabbat, so we mention both the Chiyuv and the Ptur. Whereas over there in the second Shabbat, we're only mentioning a list of things that have a surface similarity in having two essential ways that are mentioned in the Torah, which we expand at the four. So we only talk about the Chiyuv, and we don't talk about the Rabbonans, which are Potter. So therefore, Chiyuv Etani, Ptur Elotani, we don't mention the other four cases that we mentioned here in our Mishnah. Wait, hold on a second. You're confusing me. You said that we're going to... I'm assuming you're talking about Yitziyot HaShabbat. You said Shtayim. So in other words, when you say there's Chiyuvim, you mean Chiyuvim, mind you, under what category Chiyuvim? Under Yitziyot. How did you get four Chiyuvim under Yitziyot? Yitziyot Tarkinav. You can only have two Chiyuvim. You can only have two Chiyuvim for Hotzaot. Either you're standing indoors and you do a Hotzaot, or you're standing outdoors and you do a Hotzaot. Where's the four? I understand. The soup. Yitziyot Tarkinav. No. Of course it means we're no longer following our original logic. We no longer believe that we're only looking at the Hotza'ah, which is what we thought before. Forget about that original distinction. We're talking about both the Hotza'ah and the Haknasa, and at this point some of the Rishonim say that we indeed have changed our mind about the Avot and Toladot that we assumed earlier. And it was wrong for us to say that Haknasa is only a Tolada. Actually, Haknasa is also an Av. The Tosfos doesn't take that act, but it is taken by some of the Rishonim. And therefore, it appears in the Rambam, we don't view Haknasa as a different told of Hotza'ah. It's a different form. Because me'ein ha'av, it's a different form of doing the exact same av. Because mali otzah, mali haknasah. Fine. What? No, of course not. They're just different forms of the same single malacha called hotza'ah. You can hotza'ah in two ways. Again, it's a machlokas rishonim, which we'll see a lot of later on. But right now, the Gemara thought, wait a minute, if you're limited to hotza'ah, and you're limiting it to chiyuv, so you only have two, you have two that are four. So now we're saying, oh, forget our previous distinction. We're not limiting it to hotza'ah. Hotza'ah includes haknasah, and therefore you have four. But it doesn't say that. It says Yitziyot HaShabbat. How can Yitziyah, which means going out, mean coming in? Doesn't it mean what it says? HaYitziyot Katani. Amrei Rashi, the Tana calls Hakmasa Hotza'ah. I know it sounds weird, but the word Hotza'ah actually only means to go from one riches to another. I'll prove it to you, says Rav. I'll prove it to you. Don't look at me like I'm weird. Me mind. I mean, it's none. Look, take a look at the list of the malachas in the later Mishnah. Hamotzim reshut reshut is the way that we define hotza'ah in the Mishnah of the Lamed Tet Malachot. Hamotzim reshut reshut chayav. Now, is it not true that hamotzim reshut reshut is chayav, even though he does haknasah? I mean, we see in our Mishnah that you're chayav. It says b'chayul reshut chayav. So mila askina. Does that not include as well the kamaayom reshut rabim reshut yachid? Nonetheless, the Tana calls it hotza'ah. Okay, now explain it to you. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. The time of my... The point is that an akirat chefes mimakomo, moving an item relative to the space in which it was, is called removal. That's not hotza'ah. It's removal from a space. That doesn't have anything to do with going outside, inside. It has to do with taking it out of a space. That's all. I don't care how you define that space. That's called hotza'ah. So when I take something out of where it was, I'm removing it from its spatial coordinates. That's called hotza'ah. Rabina says, you don't have to go running around looking for Mishnayos. Read our Mishnah, and it becomes very clear that that's unavoidable. Because otherwise the Mishnah is simply outrageous. You start off by saying, Yitziot HaShabbat. And what's the first thing you define in Yitziot HaShabbat? Somebody puts his hand into the house. Now, is that a way to talk about Yitziot HaShabbat? I mean, even if you want to include Yitziot HaShabbat, you don't begin the Mishnah by explaining immediately Haknasah if you really mean Hotza'ah. So obviously the Tana is making a point. He's putting it in your face. When I say Yitziot, I mean Yitziot Mirashot HaRashot. I don't mean taking it outdoors. So Matnitin Nami Deka, our Mishnah proves it conclusively without needing any other proof. Tiktoni Yitziot HaShabbat. And then Kamefarish Haknasah Le'Alter. Immediately goes ahead and gives you an example of Yitziot HaShabbat, which is a haknasah, which is absolutely unacceptable. Unless it's exactly the same thing. Shema Amina. That proves it without recourse to the other Mishnah. Rav Amar. Rav says that the point over here is something entirely different. When it says Yitziot HaShabbat, it does not mean the Yitziot, the act of moving. The meaning of the word Yitziot HaShabbat always means the various spaces of Shabbat from which it is possible to move between. Either Lachi ever looked to it. That's what it means, Shtayim. In other words, Shtayim. What are those Shtayim? Shtayim is Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim. That's what the meaning is of Yitziot HaShabbat. What types of Yitziyah can there be on Shabbat? Meaning, what spaces are there that you can remove from on Shabbat? That's the meaning of Yitziot HaShabbat. So there's Rishut HaRabim. There's Rishut HaYachid, which lead you to four Chiyuvim, which are, two Chiyuvim, which are four Bifdim, and two Chiyuvim, which are four Bachutz. This is how Rashi understands. That Tosfos, the Rebbe in Tosfos says, that's very weird. Why does it say then, Shtayim Sheim Arba Bifnim, Shtayim Sheim Arba Bachut? There's no need for the Shtayim Sheim Arba Bifnim. All it should say is that you have Shtayim Sheim Arba Bifnim, the Arba Bachut. Why repeat the Shtayim Sheim? The Shtayim Sheim is a reference back to the Yitziot HaShabbat. Bishlam, if you're talking about different, if the word Yitziot is the antecedent of the Shayim Shehin, isn't it? Yitziot HaShabbat. I'm now claiming Yitziot HaShabbat means Rishuyot HaShabbat. Rishuyot HaYafid, Rishuyot HaRabim. What's the meaning of Shayim Shehin Arba Bifnim? They're Shayim. Rishuyot HaShabbat are Shayim, which are Arba, two of which are Bifnim, and two of which are Machutz. What is that? Shayim Shehin Arba Bifnim. Shayim Shehin Arba Bifnim. Why am I repeating the Shayim? Hey, that hasn't changed. Bishlam, if the Yitziot is dealing with the act of the Yitziot. Okay. Then you could say Shayim Shehin Arba Bifnim, Shayim Shehin Arba Bifnim, which is a different type. Of act. It's not a different type of rishus. It makes absolutely no difference to me what the names of the rishus are, whether I'm standing inside or outside. So the Rebbe doesn't like Rashi's approach, that it's a direct reference to the rishus itself. So therefore, he says, look, we find that the nature of the word in the Torah, where it uses the word hotzah, it refers to boundary, right? So in other words, it says, vayu totzotav hayama. Totzotav hayama, the targum is rishuyotav hayama. So in other words, what he's saying is that the meaning is Rishuyot Shabbat have these various Totsa'ot. And that's what Totsa'ot HaShabbat. That is, they have two Chiyuvim associated with them. Namely, the Chiyuv of Hotza'ah and the Chiyuv of Haknasah. Those Chiyuvim of Yitziyah and Hotza'ah are Shtayim Bifnim and Shtayim Bachutz. Rav is simply coming to clarify that it's not the word Yitziyah, it's rather the Totsa'ot of Rishuyot. That is the meaning of not every time I change a papers, I call that an act of Hotza'ah. But rather, changing of Rishuyot are viewed as rishiyot are totsaot. That which comes out of changing a rishiyot we call totsaot. But essentially, there's no difference. It's a semantic difference. How do I use the word yitziyot? That's all, which is really what Rav is coming to explain. Lichor. Tomorrow, when the Gemara starts getting into the question, why don't we include 12 or 16? Tomorrow, we'll talk about how to actually see the Mishnah in its final form, the way the Gemara distinguishes between the levels of Kiyam and Pur. But so far, we have a working explanation, which is Rashi's explanation, and a satisfactory explanation of the difference between our structure and the structure in Shavuos, which wasn't interested in the Rabbanan, but was including Hatzah and Hakmasah.